This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 226, recorded on August 6th, 2015.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff. The final liftoff of Atlantis.
Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska. And, of course, we post the show with world-class show notes, and you should be checking out those show notes. I've been putting a bunch of work into them each and every week. Of course, they're posted out at the AverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, of course, you can contact the show. Just send me an email, jim@theAverageGuy.tv. You can find me on Twitter at jcollison. Now you can call in those questions, 402-478. We're going to leave this number open for a little bit longer. 402-478-8450. Don't try and write that down while you're driving. Stop and pull over. Go 15 seconds back. Do it again. We'll play your question right here on the show. TheAverageGuy.tv is powered by Maple Grove Partners Web Hosting. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people you know and trust. Of course, that's Christian. And for more information, and you can visit maplegrovepartners.com. I've actually been really talking about that a lot in the various areas I've been in the podcast stuff and on the website, and people have been asking. Of course, Christian's got a couple spots open for you over there if you want to start a host. I'm hosted here. I think, Mike, you're hosted as well with Maple Grove Partners.
Yeah, I've been loving it. It's been working fantastic.
Yeah, I know. Christian does a nice job. MapleGrovePartners.com. We want to thank Roger over at WLMN Radio for broadcasting us out there live on terrestrial radio. Of course, you can find that at WLMNRadio.com. Out in Grafton, West Virginia. Mike, I forgot to upload the file last week, so you probably just played the same file for 2 weeks. Is that?
Yeah.
Do you think he put something else in there?
That's what he'll do. Okay. Yeah. No, if he doesn't get one, he'll just replay it.
Yeah, so. It was only 20 minutes long, and I forgot to throw it up there, so they had to listen to it for 2 weeks. If you're listening from Grafton, we'd still like to hear from you. Give us a call, send us an email, jim@theAverageGuy.tv. We'd love to know you're listening. Of course, Home Gadget Geeks is a part of the Geeks Network. Find the link to this show and many other great podcasts at thegeeksnetwork.com. And of course, we're getting ready for the meetup that's coming up here on September 12th. I'll have a link to that as well. If you're in the Indianapolis area, you want to be in the Indianapolis area on September 12th. We are actually, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this yet. I think I can. We've actually moved to the Microsoft campus in Indianapolis for the meetup, which is really cool. We're going to be in the Microsoft building in Indianapolis for the conference. So, Dave,
awesome.
If I wasn't supposed to say that, I'm sorry. If you're thinking about the meetup, you might want to be there. This one's going to be particularly cool. We won't be able to party on Friday night like we were before, at least not in the hotel or where we were setting up. That's the problem. We can't set up on Friday. It'll be a Saturday morning setup, but it'll be very cool. Microsoft came through. We lost the room, or there was a mix-up in scheduling, and so I'll have the link to – it's still not too late if you want to – in fact, I still need to book my registration. I know Dave knows I'm coming. Mike, you're not able to come anymore, right? That's
no, no. School got in the way. It was a very required part of a class that happens to be on that night. So
on that that weekend. Yeah. Well, life's trying to get in my way too. I'm podcasting Thursday and Friday at a conference. I'm trying to catch, I think, a late Friday afternoon flight into Indy. Do the meetup on Saturday, Sunday. Monday, I will fly to Washington, D.C. I've got 3 days of meetings in Washington. I'll fly back on Friday. And so I got a pretty busy week ahead.
We'll be gone for a full week.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out Home Gadget Geeks that week as well. I may do it from D.C. So that would be, yeah. No, it's easy enough to do. So pretty easy to do. Ken said that, Brian and Ken both said it's official in the Home Server Show forum, so I'm okay. I started down that path, you know, and you're like, the last message I got from Dave was on Facebook Messenger, and I had that feeling like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said anything, but I think I'm okay. So the link to that, to the meetup is out there in the show notes if you want to do it. Mike, we are in the dog days of summer. If you are here in the Midwest, it's hot. It's buggy. The grass is super green this year. We've had a lot of rain, and so enjoying life outside. I know you guys last week, you spent some time away. You down at a lake somewhere?
Yeah, we were down at Lake of the Ozarks down in Missouri. And then, speaking of like all buggy and hot, last night we were at my wife's farm, and at the house, they have a thing of frogs on the side of the house. So they have just a ton of frogs. They're just like on the side of the house.
Real frogs?
Like real live frogs.
On the side of the house.
Yeah, you turn the light on, you look out on the side, and it's just like, frogs. And our dog went crazy trying to eat them. We're like, no, come here. And yeah, it was weird.
He was trying to eat the frogs?
Yeah, he was chasing the frogs around trying to catch them. So yeah, nice. It was cool.
Well, it's always fun. Summertime.
Very
We missed you last week, right? Was that just last week?
Or was it 2 weeks ago?
So 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that's because I'm behind. So in last week's feed, you heard the post show from 223. And then, I'm a week ahead because I'll be taking a week off here down the road.
We had Alex with us last week.
Yeah, we had Alex, and so how the weeks kind of blend together. Yeah. So it is summertime, and we're going to kick off with some summer gadgets. We're calling it the Summer Gadget Bash, or the Back to School Gadget Coverage. Right? There's lots of gadgets. We actually want some input from you guys out there in chat. When we think about summer, when we think about back to school, there's a whole host of gadgets that go into this. You know, my kids always needed those Texas Instruments calculators that were like $130, right? We bought them and we put their name on them on a Sharpie and we're like, you're going to keep this for the whole year.
And then you pass it down to your family.
They get passed down, each kid. Yep. And then at some point, something changed and the ones we were buying weren't good enough and so we had to buy new ones. That would always drive me nuts. It's like those calculators were sold by the mafia.
Right. They had the market cornered. It was like TI, or maybe there was like one other brand you could choose from, but they made a bunch of money off those.
Yeah, and so when we think of gadgets, Drashness says Windows 10 tablets. Not immediately, that doesn't come to my mind when we think of summer gadgets. We'll talk about Windows 10 here in a second, just because it's landing, the update's landing here in the summer. But a couple things that I think about, some of the stuff, I've talked about this on the show, I have a barbecue temperature probe that I use when I'm cooking, when I'm cooking stuff in the grill, not for burgers and hot dogs and stuff like that, but turkeys, chickens, things like that, if you're doing that. It's very gadgety because you plug that into the meat and you put the sensor on the outside and you Bluetooth connect that to your phone. And then you can check the temperature, right, the inside temperature. I blogged about that, so if you're new to the podcast, I've been getting a lot of new listeners lately who just joined, found us in various ways. And so if you're interested in that, it's an iDevice, I should have looked this up before I did it, iDevice iGrill. Yeah, iDevice iGrill. That's an example of kind of what we're talking about. Mike, I know for you guys, you're a big GoPro user in the summer.
Oh, huge.
So talk a little bit about how you're using your GoPro.
Well, GoPro's kind of gone through a lot of iterations, and the hardware keeps getting better in terms of photo quality, so I'm sure, Mike can talk to that, but in terms of just usefulness, these things are absolutely fantastic. So the best part about them, obviously, I mean, everyone knows about the GoPros, is that they're waterproof, shockproof, dustproof. You can take them anywhere, and the next best part about them is that they're tiny. So even if you take this thing off the selfie stick that we have it on here, I mean, it's super small. We take it on all of our vacations, wherever we go. So it's pretty much the most universal camera you can have for any sort of water vacation. So we took ours down to Mexico. We take it to the lake. We do all sorts of pictures with it. I've collected over the years all sorts of mounts. So I have the one that can go on the head. I have the chest mount. But probably the most useful is obviously the selfie stick. I've never thought I would use one of these devices, but it's perfect for the GoPro as you are doing any sort of activity. You can just have it out there. We use it for while we dirt bike down at the farm. We use it while we four-wheel ride. All sorts of uses for these GoPros. But from a tech standpoint, cool thing is that it connects to an app on your phone. So this thing actually creates its own Wi-Fi network. And because it's Wi-Fi, not Bluetooth, it's actually a pretty good range. You can actually put this thing pretty far away and control it from an app on your phone, or they actually sell a remote for it. So you can have a buddy using it out on the dirt bike, and you can be kind of looking and seeing what he's seeing and recording or changing the mode from picture mode to video mode, all sorts of uses for these GoPro. But pretty much the thing I like about it is it's small enough that you can pack away and put into a suitcase, but also extremely useful and very high-quality video and images coming out of these. So, yeah, they're fantastic.
Mark, Mark out in chat says he liked his PID controller for his barbecue, and then right behind that, I've never seen these, the Maverick ET733. They're a long-range wireless dual probe for your smokers for temperature measuring as well. So, Mark, that's exactly what we're looking for, so good recommendation as well. Mike, so you've got the selfie stick piece of it. You've got a cover for it that makes it waterproof. Did you get a stick, a sticky, you know, like a suction cup so you can stick it to stuff
I kind of have a bunch of them. I have one that's permanently on my dirt bike helmet, and I have, like I said, you know, the chest one, the one that goes on your head, there's all sorts of mounts that you can get for these things, and they're very versatile. So,
what's your favorite video so far? I mean, that you've done that when you got done, you're like, man, I'm really glad I shot that video.
Actually, some of the pictures I like taking are like jumping off of a boat. Now, what I've learned from this thing is that the instinct when you get a GoPro, especially if you are like riding or doing anything, is to face out and try and get people to see what you see. That's just it's okay. It turns out to be a cool video, but what the coolest videos are, turn it around and have it face you. Mm-hmm. When you think of all the cool GoPro commercials you're seeing the people doing the activities. That's kind of the fun part. So I like it when we've done cliff jumping. You kind of get a really cool perspective of the cliff jump. When you do any sort of, you know, just even jumping off the boat or riding the dirt bike is kind of fun. But I also used it. I have a mount that goes on the end of my gun. So when I've been turkey hunting, I've been able to take photos of, like, me in the stand or out towards the turkey.
Look, hold on. You have a mount that goes on the end of your gun?
Yeah.
Seriously.
My buddy got it for me. My buddy actually is a friend or family member, works for GoPro, so he gets them on discount.
That's awesome.
You got to try this. I'm like, okay, awesome. So mounts right underneath your gun or to your fishing pole. So it's kind of fun.
No, very cool. I watch a lot of people go down slides, you know, like water slides or roller coasters doing the selfie, you know. I watched somebody put it on the end of a hula hoop
and that would be cool.
Around, right? And so you got this really interesting perspective as it, you know, as it comes around.
What we did was, actually, I worked for the company that hosted the International Horse Show. I don't know if you know about that. The one at the CenturyLink just started 2 years ago, but it's a big horse equestrian competition. And I was working for them, and I said, hey, can I put my GoPro out on the jump? And they said, yeah, sure, but how are you going to control? I'm like, well, since it's Wi-Fi, I can sit in the stands, and I can tell it when to start recording, when to stop. So during the show, I put it right on this thing, so you get these horses coming right up and over the GoPro.
And they let you
really
do that,
cool
huh?
kind of image. They weren't
concerned that that might freak out the horses? I had to
cover up the light and turn off the sound. So it was kind of hidden in the bushes right underneath the jump. And I turned off the light and turned off the sound, and it turned out really cool. They're just very versatile cameras.
Yeah,
what I've been learning. So
some new ones out. I think we're on the 4, right? You have a Hero 3, and I think we're on the 4 at this point.
Yeah, and they even just came out with the brand new one, which now I'm gonna forget the name. I was actually just wanting to buy one.
man, it can be expensive. Gosh. Those things run about $350.
They get up there. So the new one's called the Session, and it's actually just the square. If you look at it, if you look at the black part of this camera, it's that size. It's tiny. I mean, it's super small. And that one is going to start at $400. They have the Hero 4 Black for $500, the Silver back at $400, and then I believe they have one cheaper one, like at $150. I think you can get an entry model that's a little bit lower, maybe $150 or $200. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a perfect summer gadget, right? That's one of those kinds of things. And you know, a GoPro is a great winter gadget, too, if you think about skiing and put it on your helmet, strap it onto your chest.
We did that as well. Yeah, it was awesome.
Those kinds of things.
And a great back-to-school gift for students going off. You think of, you know, them wanting to capture moments, and especially anything that they do. If they do anything outside at all, a GoPro is a great camera. So
the chat room tends to think you have a little buying sickness on Amazon. You talked a little bit about that on your Suit and Scrubs podcast recently.
Yes. Yeah, we don't let Hannah into that account, because if she did, actually, we just got home today. She goes, Michael, why is there another Amazon box on our stoop? I'm like, hey, this one actually is for my parents. I was just doing the ordering. You know, it's not, but yeah, it is kind of a problem.
What have you bought now, Michael?
I can just hear her.
I can hear her on your new podcast. What have you bought now, Michael?
Oh, it's actually a good thing that she checks, because or that she notices, because otherwise it might be a worse problem than it already is.
So. It's easy, man. It slides down easy.
Well, I told you this when I saw you actually at your office, and I was telling you that, you know, I can't be on the show any longer because I end up buying something after every show. So
I know. We'll talk about that here in just a sec. Mark had said again in chat that he has pictures from a ride through the Australian rainforest on dirt bike.
Oh, wow.
Recorded on a video on the way out and stills on the way back from a GoPro.
That's fantastic.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great. Yeah, it's just such a durable camera. I think that's one of those things
that is
out. You know, we, Sarah smashed, in fact, I still have the phone right here. I need to do something with it, but her old Galaxy S4, she put it in her pocket with the glass down, I think, and then she sat on a rock when we were in Colorado and just crushed the digitizer. Now, I've replaced it. I replaced the digitizer on this phone. It never really worked. I didn't get all the parts back in, and so when I reattached the, you can probably, I don't know if you can see that crack there that's
by
my finger down there. Yeah. As soon as I put the glass back in and kind of pressed the frame in, it recracked, and these never worked on the bottom when we were done. But the nice thing about a GoPro, especially the cases that you have, those are all fairly rugged, durable cases, right?
Well, that's what we did. So on our honeymoon, we went down and we left the phones in the room locked in the safe. One, because it got us disconnected from reality. It was awesome. We loved doing that. But two, because we use this as our entire camera for everything. We took it on, horseback riding, rock water slides, everything like that. And you don't have to worry about it. You can chuck this thing at a rock and it's not going to break. And if it does, they'll replace it for free. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
It's just a good way to have a camera on you. This summer for us, one of the tools or one of the gadgets we use all the time is a Logitech UE, the letter U and the letter E, mini boom wireless Bluetooth speaker. They're about this big, not very big. They're about $85 each, 90, depends when you get them. The newest ones, I bought Sarah one a year or two ago for Christmas. The newer ones, you can actually pair together in stereo. So you could have two of those speakers, and they'll pair together. They pair via Bluetooth and then pair to any Bluetooth device. And so I had my interns over on Saturday night for barbecue, and so we took that speaker out, set it on the deck, turn it on, and turn it up. And it's just good enough. It's not, you're not going to like fill up the whole neighborhood with sound, but it's good enough for a party.
Battery-powered?
It's chargeable,
okay.
Wireless rechargeable. So you just plug that in and set it up. You get about, I think, 3 or 4 hours worth of sound. My wife takes it with her when she's cleaning houses. She'll take it with her as what she listens to when she's cleaning. So instead of having earbuds or whatever, she'll put that up somewhere. She can move it around easily from room to room. It's got an on-off switch on the back. Super simple, 3 buttons on top, louder, quieter, and Bluetooth pairing. Drop dead simple. And just a great little party speaker. You know, we all have got our phones for the most part. And you can take this thing with you, set it up, put it on top of your car, and just blast it. And it's actually got some pretty decent sound for outside. So that has been, she uses the heck out of that thing.
And, that's perfect. Even for inside, even those places that you don't have speakers set up, just bring it along in any room you're in. That'd be great.
Yeah, it fills the room. It's a nice sound.
Have you tried the stereo thing yet?
I have not. We just have one. Yeah, we just have one. And her version was pre-stereo pairing. I was able to get it. The stereo pairing had come out that Christmas, and I got a fall version that was on clearance. That they were trying to get rid of them. So I think I got it for $60. The new ones are like $90. So I got it unpaired. But yeah, I still think, even for a single speaker.
Right.
Awesome. You just have to be careful, because one time I paired my phone to it, and then I forgot that I'd paired it to it, and I was doing something. I was listening to a podcast or something, and I'm like, why is this not making any sound? And it was playing the podcast across the house to the speaker really loud. And Sarah's like, turn that podcast off.
I've done that with AirPlay as well, because AirPlay through the Wi-Fi at my parents' house. I'm like, man, there's nothing going on here. And then all of a sudden downstairs, my mom's getting blared by my music. So
yeah, you gotta
watch careful. Those connections, those Bluetooth connections.
I know. It's kind of scary sometimes. You're like, where did I? And sometimes I had some Bluetooth connectivity in the car, which the garage is not too far over here. And that would happen where somebody would call me and I'd be like, hello. Hello, and they're coming out. You know, they're coming
they're
out
in the car. Right.
And you're like, hey, this isn't going to work. So you got to watch who you're connected to. You mentioned Alex. We had Alex on last week, and I haven't released that yet. So that'll be coming out this weekend for you guys out there in the live stream. Really great interview. Looking forward to publishing that. But he talked about a Pebble watch. And, of course, we're an expensive podcast if you are an impulse buyer like you are. And so why don't you show us what you bought?
Yeah, I pulled the trigger on the Pebble watch, and I know everyone here knows I'm a huge Apple fanboy, but Alex convinced me. I was talking to a buddy, I'm actually Colin, the co-host on my other show, and I told him, I'm like, you know, the Pebble has all the features I would want, minus some of ones maybe I might use every once in a while, and then minus a lot of them that I would never use. And for the price point, you just can't beat it. So he had told me they were $88 last week, and so I went out, and just so happened I was in a fantasy league that I actually won. And so I was like, hey, they're a perfect way to use the money than on the new Pebble watch.
Fantasy
so I grabbed
baseball
it.
Or?
Fantasy, what was it this time? Yeah, baseball. Yeah, it's at DraftKings where it's like
Mike,
you can. Oh, gosh. Okay. This could turn into a therapy show for Mike. This is what, Thursday nights is the new therapy. But yeah, grabbed the Pebble and I got it delivered on Saturday.
Now you're an Apple watch. You're an Apple guy.
I know. And so that was the big ordeal.
How do you justify this?
I justify it as I don't like the current Apple Watch. I want the Gen 2. And so I said for $89, this is a good way to see if I even like wearables because I'm not a watch guy. So I didn't want to pay $400, $450, whatever it is next year for an Apple Watch, not even knowing if I can get used to wearing a watch all the time. So I was like, for $89, it's a great way to get into it, and I also have the smartwatch capabilities that the Pebble has, and it has a lot more than I thought. When I first looked at these Pebbles, now this is the original Pebble Watch, and when I first looked at these, there was not the App Store. So there is now a Pebble App Store. You install the app on your phone, and when you sync it up, you then have a watch face store and an app store. So you can actually – I have ESPN on here. I have Pandora. I have some apps for the actual watch that I didn't know that they had before. So it was kind of a different experience. I didn't even know that existed but until I installed the application when it arrived on Saturday. I was like, oh, look at this. This last time I looked at Pebble, they didn't have all these features. So yeah, it was kind of cool. I'm loving it so far. I did have to make some adjustments on my phone to what notifications come in because at first I was getting way too many. I did not realize how many times during the day my phone buzzed until it was on my wrist, and now my wrist is vibrating. But so I did have to make some adjustments, fine-tuning on the notifications. But other than that, the only thing I'm missing right now is the ability to respond via voice. If I could do that, it would be awesome.
And that's kind of – would you really do – I mean, isn't that a weird conversation to be talking to your wife?
See, I thought that. I thought that for a long time. I thought that would definitely be weird. So then use case for it, though, I'm leaving work. My phone is strapped to my hip. I get a text message from my buddy. I have my hands full of stuff from work, and I look down, and I can read – on the Pebble, you can actually read the entire message. So you can read through all your notifications. So I read the text. It would have been awesome to just tap something and have Siri be like, tell him I'll be there in 15 minutes or something like that. Something to do a very quick response to him, whereas I kind of had to wait till I got to the garage and get out my phone when I got in the car and then send the text. So just a few use cases that I might use the voice or response. But as of now, man, for $89, I cannot think of any feature that is not included that I thought would be. And so I'm thoroughly impressed with the Pebble.
Is there GPS in that?
So, no, but it connects to your phone for it. Right. So, it has the Runkeeper app. So, you can't use this on its own, but when it's paired up with your phone, it can really do just about anything. There's actually a golf app. So, you have pretty much golf GPS. The app on your phone just sends everything to your Pebble, and you can tell it when you're going to the next hole, all from your watch. You never have to get out your phone. So, they really have, with the addition of the apps, they've made it a lot more useful, a lot more kind of advantageous for the person who just wants to get into the app, the smartwatch realm without paying $350 for either, you know, the Galaxy Wear or whatever they're up to now. I don't even know what they're on. And the Apple Watch. So, yeah.
That might be like the best kept secret in wearables right now.
It honestly is. It definitely is. And they claim that on their website. When you go to like getpebble.com, I think is their website, there's some line in there where like, you know, we're not changing the world. We're just making a watch for the everyday person. And it's so true.
We're not making you go broke. We're just selling you a watch.
Right, right. And so even to the point of when my phone's plugged into speakers, being able to play, pause, and go next on my watch because it's Bluetooth connected and it just does that automatically. Simple stuff like that. Just very nice. Another addition to my technology, you know, realm. It's been a great addition. I don't regret it. It's one impulse buy that I don't regret. I regret most of them. I don't regret this one. So
No. I was a non-watch guy myself. I picked up this Forerunner 220. No. 210? Why can't I remember the number? It's a 220. And it's just my watch. But I was surprised at how nice it was to have a watch again. I had gone 10 years with just my phone, nothing on my wrist. I've liked having a watch. I'm not going to lie. It's one of those kinds of things that's like, huh. I think based on what you're saying, if this one broke, I'm just going to wear it till it totally, you know, falls apart and I can't wear it anymore. But I think I might go with the Pebble. That sounds like a pretty reasonable purchase
right.
for a wearable, right?
Right. And I might, I mainly did it because I had those winnings from fantasy. I probably wouldn't have made the impulse buy. And had I won a little bit more, I think I might bump up to the Pebble Steel. So same exact operating system, same exact like black and white screen, nothing different, but the Steel looks a lot nicer, a little bit heavier. This thing is surprisingly light. Like, it's super light. I almost thought the box was empty when I bought it. So just a little light for me, but besides that, pretty darn good.
No, very cool. One of those kinds of things, like I said, I like having a watch. That might be the one I go with. Although, I think we have a Surface, I think we have a Microsoft Band coming soon, I think. Version 2 of that will be out.
Really?
Sounds like, yeah, I think so. I think by fall, I would think. I have not heard any rumors, which means, what's ironic is Microsoft lately has been good at the rumor mill and Apple has not. and so it's one of those kinds of things that I think they surprised us with the first band, and I think they're going to probably surprise us again as we get deep into the fall with the second band. And I think it's going to have some improvements. So that retailed like $199, that's not too terrible.
Right.
And there it's not quite the $350 or $400 that you're going to get with the Apple Watch.
The thing I found, too, is in the workplace. So I was very interested to see Monday when I went to work for the first time how I used it in the office. And it's kind of nice to be able to be in a meeting and pretend that I don't have a phone addiction, because everyone else in the meetings does the thing of, you have the phone turned over on your notepad, right, or in your lap. And when it buzzes, people kind of have to take a look. But if I don't have I'm the only one in that meeting that doesn't have the phone out turned upside down on our notepads or whatever. I just have my wristwatch, and I can when something comes in, I can tell right away if it's urgent or not, or if it's a work email or not a work email. So it's been nice.
Yeah, no, very cool. I think for the average guy, that's actually a really reasonable watch option. The Steel is how much?
$150.
Okay, even that's pretty reasonable.
$159, $150, and then the brand new one, the color LCD one, is even more expensive. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably it's worse battery life too.
The Pebble Time. Yeah, probably. So I charged. I didn't charge it. I opened it right up on Saturday, right as it came, and I was too excited. I installed it right away. Didn't have to charge it until Tuesday night.
Wow.
So not bad.
Yeah.
On battery life, and it came probably about 60 to 75%. I'd say.
Yeah.
Maybe 50.
So. I get 3 weeks on my Garmin watch with no activity. So if I'm not using the GPS, I get 3 weeks. That's great.
That's way better.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then about a week if I'm using the GPS once a day for running or for tracking my workouts or whatever. I use that. Ray says the Steel is a little bit dressier.
It is. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Dressier, a little fancier looking.
Ken says it has an accelerometer to track your steps.
Yep, it does. So it has some activity. No GPS, but it does have the accelerometer.
I think that's all you need. I mean, that kind of replaces the Fitbit from that standpoint. Is there any sleep tracking in there?
Yep.
With it?
So the app that most people suggest, there's a few that take advantage of the accelerometer. It's called Misfit, which I had never heard of before. I don't know if you have, being a fitness guy, but it's called Misfit, and it does sleep tracking, steps, running, all that sort of stuff. So.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun to see. It's one of those kinds of things you're super excited about it when you first get it, and then you start learning, or you're like, man, this was great. I think with the Echo, you and I have both thought, man, the Echo just keeps getting better.
Right.
Right. You learn more things this last week, this last Friday. We've got multiple timers that are available to us now, so which I never even thought about, to be honest with you. Like, you could start a timer.
Yeah, neither have I.
Okay, so now, with the new update that came out last week, start a timer for 10 minutes. And in the middle of that timer, you need to start another timer for maybe 15 minutes. You can just say, Alexa, start another timer for 15 minutes, and it will start a second one, and you can do a third one, and you can do a fourth one. You used to only be able to do one timer at a time. Now she's able to track multiple timers across time, which is pretty cool when you're thinking about you got multiple processes that you want to track. I don't think that in itself is genius, but it does start giving us some multi-threaded options when we think about what the Echo could do in parallel and multi-thread. Right? So that's cool. I mean, I think that's one of those things where we're like, oh, this gets interesting. If it can do those things and keep track of it in that way, what else could you keep track of in a multi-threaded process?
Right. Right. Was there anything else with the update? I actually didn't even know there was an update last week.
Let's see. So if you if you've got an Echo and you head out to KnowItGuy, KnowItGuy.com, we do have a Know It Guide out there now. That's really the best place to get all of your Echo. What I'm doing for you guys now in that Know It Guide for the Echo, for the Amazon Echo, is I am keeping track of all the release notes as they come out. About every Friday or every other Friday, they come out with release notes. And so July 31st, which just came out, the timer functionality come out, and then they always have a real practical one and then kind of a cute one. So if you follow the moon at all, you know we just had a blue moon that happened, and that doesn't happen very often. And so you could set Alexa to say what, or you could now ask Alexa, what's the current moon phase? What's the next moon? When is the next blue moon? And what is a blue moon? Those were added to kind of. And that we're not talking about these kinds of blue moons right here. We are talking about the ones in the sky. And so I find that email very, very helpful that we get each week from Amazon. So I've been recording those for you. So if you missed one, head out to knowitguide.com. Look for the Amazon Echo Know It Guide, and you can get those as well. So really, Mike, the timers were the big deal. Now, if this, then that continues to build integrations into this thing as well. So you always want to be checking ifttt.com for additional integrations with your Amazon Echo.
Definitely.
One of the things we were hoping to bring Mike Howard on tonight, talk about some of the Hue lighting. He just bought a bunch of lighting. He bought a couple of the white lights, a couple of the colored lights. And we'll have to say, but he's going to show us, he bought a Hue strip light. So it's a big, long light that you could put underneath the counter or whatever, attaches to the hub, and works just like the regular lights do. I think we're going to see Philips come up with some really, now that this is starting to go mainstream, I think they're going to fill in a lot of those spaces with these lights. They are not cheap, right?
No.
It's $20 a light for just the white, $60 a light for the colored, and that strip, I think, is $50. So, man, if you're going to get into this, you better be ready to spend some money, right?
Right. They are LED, so they are going to last a lot longer than your normal bulbs. That's the only justification, actually, I can find for myself. But yeah, they'll last a while.
So, Mark asked if you could, can you name the timers for Alexa? In other words, potatoes for 10 minutes, then say eggs for 4 minutes. It does not say that in the update. That would be a cool feature that's available. The example, it says Alexa start a timer for 10 minutes, and then you would say Alexa start another timer for 15 minutes. You can also do the same with the alarms. Alexa set alarm for 8:30, and then say Alexa set another alarm for 9:30. That's a great suggestion, though, of naming your timers. And when those go off, maybe they go, potato, potato, potato.
That would be
your
awesome.
Your potatoes are now done. That would be cool, right?
I need all the help I can get in the kitchen, because I would pull out the wrong thing. Babe, the steaks are off. The potatoes are overcooked. What'd you do here? Well, Alexa, you know, I was off with the alarms, let me tell you.
I was off with the alarms. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So Alexa continues to give us a little bit more. There's kind of a growing Echo community out there on Google+, which I've been participating a little bit in, and trying to get the good word out about the Know It Guide. So, okay, we got another item. You put this in the show notes, a hammock?
Oh, yeah. So this was started by my, not started. I learned about it from my awesome sister. She is a camp counselor down in Kansas, and all her friends got really into these, and at the local college campus down in Kansas, Benedictine, KU, K-State, these things are huge, and now they are taking off. So I got one for Christmas. This is the entire hammock right here. So it folds up into this tiny bag, and it is kind of like sleeping bag material is what you would see it as. And they're called Enos, and you can string them up absolutely anywhere. And they're kind of taken off because all around college campuses, you'll see people hanging out, you know, hanging in these Enos, and people will stack them 2-3 high. My buddy lives out in Colorado, and their thing is you have to lay in your Eno in the most, like, crazy place and take a picture of it. So they're hanging over rivers. They're hanging, like, from bridges in their hammock. They're super cool, super lightweight. I mean, just, like, you can just toss it up in your hand right here. And super small. So we actually took this on our honeymoon. We were going to try and find a spot maybe on the beach or something we could lay it. We didn't end up finding a place, but that small that you can pack away in a suitcase and stuff like that. So Eno. We get them at our local, now I'm going to forget the name of the store, REI. So I don't know if you guys have REIs wherever you guys are at. There's one in Kansas City is the closest one to Jim and I here in Omaha. One in Minneapolis.
You might be able to pick one up at Cabela's, do you think? You think Cabela's is going to carry something like that?
Probably more like a Shields, maybe. I would guess. But maybe sports. A Cabela's. Yeah, somewhere sporty, something like that. And I'm not sure on the price, but also online. So.
Yeah, you can get them through Amazon as well if you just put E-N-O.
How much are they running right now?
Oh, it looks like they run anywhere from 60 to 150, depending upon the quality of them. But,
and then you can get the straps to hang them up absolutely anywhere. Really cool.
Yeah. I actually have we have a spot in the yard we built specifically here at the Collison Mansion for a hammock. It's got rocks underneath it. It's super flat. It perfectly fits the hammock size. And then I bought the metal brackets for the hammock that you can put in there. And we've never one of my kids went to Nicaragua and brought a hammock back, and that thing lasted a summer, and then it just fell apart. It was cloth, you know. Now, I don't think it was really meant to be a hammock. It was a hammock, but I'm not sure it was meant to be one. These would fit nicely in there.
Super durable, too. Like, they're meant to be the rugged, throw them in a bag and go hiking with them, take them out.
Good news is they double as a parachute. If you
there you go. They probably actually would do a pretty good
job.
Your
own personal parachute.
Yes, very much so. But no, they're absolutely amazing, comfortable. I love it, and so they've been great so far. You'll find some really fun places to put them.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the meme right now, right? Is odd, weird places to string them up and then get in it and then take a picture? Is that what's...
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's very much in the outdoorsy kind of granola type of kids right now. I don't know if that's what... Yeah, so outdoorsy, camp life people, that's where they're kind of starting out. But I think they're going to go mainstream. I see them around Creighton. I've seen two people use them here at Creighton. So they're definitely making it out there.
All right, very cool. Well, some summer tech for you. If you want to drop some more summer tech in the chat room, we'll come back to it. We're going to talk a little bit about Windows 10. How can you not talk about what's going on, the big news? And so if you still got some summer items that you want to throw into the chat room, drop those in chat. If you want to drop those in the post here for this show, go out to theaverageguy.tv/HGG226. Mike, hard to believe I've done 226 of these things. That's crazy.
That's impressive.
It's crazy. That's good. They just keep going on. Sarah tonight, I came home and I was like, oh, man, it's been a crazy week. I got to write this grant tonight. I'm like, she's like, well, so are you going to cancel the podcast? I'm like, no, I'm not going to cancel the podcast. You never cancel a podcast. She's like, well, you could. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Not Jim. Jim does not cancel podcasts. Normal people cancel. Jim will gladiator through it.
I miss a couple a year. We figure out ways to get them done. But it's always good to be on. Windows 10 is out. And, kind of went live late last week. Lots of folks have been getting the update. They have done millions and millions and millions of the update now. I've been running Windows 10 on my Surface Pro 3 for a while now. Works great. This week, its first kind of real update to those who did the upgrade a week ago has come out. Most of the updates that are going to be coming out for the next month or two are going to be either security-based, or they're going to be stability-based. I don't see if they're going to do necessarily a lot of features. One of the things they turned on in the Windows Store, if you go out there, now all your apps, your Windows Experience apps, are going to be automatically updated through the store. So that's a new function of anything that you download from the store that's available out to you. I've been getting reports from many, many of you guys that are listening out there that you have either upgraded or you're holding off to upgrade. That's kind of the two. I was thinking, why am I not getting the Windows upgrade notification in my toolbar on my main PC here? All the other PCs got it. And I was like, well, what's going on? So I looked at it and I remembered I installed Windows Enterprise on this box when I was first the Enterprise version of it way back when. I thought it was cool. Like, I have MSDN, so I could get the best right on there. I'm like, I'll put Enterprise. Well, that kind of bit me because now I can't, there's no upgrade path at this point from Enterprise. I've got to kind of download the ISO and do the update and, you know, pretty much do it from scratch at this point. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to leave Windows 8 on here. It's working great for me at this point. No need on my studio PC to go to Windows 10. The Surface will be my Windows 10 box going forward, and that's where I'll experience Windows 10. Mike, one of the things, a little tip on Windows 10 for folks that are going from 7 to 10. So if you've been on Windows 8, this was always available, but one of the nice features that comes with Windows 10 that really wasn't available in Windows 7 is the ability to sign in securely with a PIN. And on a touch device, when you're typing in your password on that keyboard that's down below, it's a real drag. And if you've got, you know, because they usually crank up the screen, you know, where the screen goes dim or the screen goes off, the screensaver. On a mobile device, you crank that way up to like 30 seconds to help save on battery, right? And so you're constantly putting your password in. Again, it was available on Windows 8 for PIN, but Windows 10, especially on touch, it is just dynamite. I switched the tablet over. The Surface is now PIN, and I just put a 4-digit PIN in, and it logs me in very simply from that standpoint. It's a great feature. So one of those things, if you got Windows 10 and you're looking at an easier way to log in, of course, coming from Windows 7 to Windows 10 is a big move, like because all of a sudden now you have to use your Microsoft ID. You don't have to, right? You can create a local account login. I don't recommend that for anybody. Just use that Microsoft account because it's going to come with a lot of cool features that it's going to help from a security standpoint, for one. But two, it's going to give you access to your cloud drive. If you're using Microsoft Azure, it's going to log in automatically. I always just recommend get a Microsoft account. Most of us have them. Get logged in. Use that as your login to Windows 10. It's very, very slick. And then put a PIN on it. So you just have to put a 4-digit number. That's the minimum, 4 digits for it, and it's been working great for me. So that's one of my Windows 10 tips.
Apple did that too. Your main account is usually, now if you go in, if you created your Mac a long time ago, it won't be this way, but when you're creating a new account, it's through your iCloud account, which makes a lot of sense. So I think it's kind of the same sort of thing. If you're using a cloud login, I like it because it's only one thing I have to remember, and I can reset my login from my iCloud. So there's a lot of features like that. I think they're both trending that way.
Yeah, Mark was saying he was able to do that PIN on his login on a Surface RT. Yeah, that was a Windows 8 feature. I was specifically mentioning folks that are coming from Windows 7. So if you held out and you never went to Windows 8, there's a ton of Windows 8 haters that never made the jump. Now, among my listeners, maybe there's probably more that moved, you know, maybe if you're listening, maybe you probably moved to Windows 8 at some point if you're in the Windows ecosystem. But if you're coming from Windows 7, the PIN really wasn't there to make it work. And so if you're jumping right from Windows 7 to Windows 10, you get kind of that new feature with the PIN, so it's pretty cool.
Do any of those tablets have fingerprint readers in them?
So Microsoft's going a different direction when we think about that. So they have a new product in Windows 10, supported Windows 10. This is kind of the cool feature. Tough to talk about now because there's no cameras that support it. There's one camera. Well, it's called Hello. And the whole idea is, and I think the next version of the Surface will probably be built with a camera like this, but you look at it, it does facial recognition, does some things with the side. It uses a little bit of Kinect technology to measure who you are and a little bit of heat, some of those kinds of things, and boom, then it automatically locks you in.
Gotcha.
So Microsoft's going more of that direction. There are some cameras you can use to get that done. I'm not saying you can't use fingerprint for that, but Microsoft is really trying to head the direction of a facial ID to log you into Windows. That's really where they're going to go. So one of the big features that is out there is this Hello. Not really. It's going to take a year because we got to get hardware in the system to make that work, right? We launched with it, and then it's like, well, there's one camera that supports it. You're like, okay, probably not great. It's coming, which is cool. And then Continuum is the other really, I think, the other really rich feature for the average user, which allows you today, so when I take my Surface and I pull it apart, and I pull that keyboard apart, it asks me, hey, do you want to go into tablet mode? Did you mean to pull your keyboard off? And if I do that, then it full screens everything, and when I hit the Windows key, it goes to the full icons, right, which is great for touch, right? That's what it was always really meant for. Connect the keyboard back in. It says, did you connect the keyboard? And you say, yes, you can turn that feature off. And it goes back into desktop mode, right? It's this idea, this smart sensing, getting idea what you're using. The cool thing about Continuum here in the future, and Mike, I think you're going to dig this concept, and everybody will copy it, right? But so I have my phone, and there'll be Continuum connected devices like monitors. And so I'm on my phone, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is going to be longer than I want to type with my thumbs. So you throw it in a dock, or you get it close, or you put it on a pad, or you do something, and the monitors automatically recognize it and throws up the screens to the right, to your desktop, and now it's connected to a keyboard via Bluetooth, and it becomes your desktop. And you can type away. Again, I think we're a couple years from this being really, really great. I mean, think about the advancements both Apple, Android, and Microsoft have made with the mobile browser processor. Because that's really the key at this point, right? If you got a crappy processor, you're not going to be able to do these kind of desktop things. But, I mean, how cool would that be, right, to throw your phone down and it lights up your monitors, right?
Well, that's what my buddy Jake and I were talking about. How long are we until this is our full computer and just all we need is the peripherals around it? I mean, just like what you're talking about, but even more processing power than what's in the phones now. You give it a few years, and all offices need, it doesn't matter what platform they offer, you can bring in your iPhone, you can bring in your Windows phone, your Android phone, whatever you have, and all they have to provide is a dock, and then you've got everything you need right there. I think that is that's what interests me, is that this just completely replacing all of our other computers. Now, it'll be a while, obviously. It's hard to fit a lot of processor in a tiny
I don't think too long. Intel's got some new chips coming. There's some stuff on the bench right now that's looking super promising as far as speed and efficiency and power and
Let's get them in the game. I want them in the game right now. That'd be awesome. Yeah. I would love it.
Yeah. No, Intel is really starting to crank down on this thing. And some of the future stuff we have coming looks really, really cool. I think for the average consumer, right, I mean, I think some of the processors we have, some of the Snapdragon, some of those other ones that we have in our phones are good enough to, you know, to do what we need them to do. Some of the throughputs are still questionable. Some of the getting, you know, when we think about driving a 24, a 27-inch monitor, that takes some power, and can you push those bits out of your phone and into the monitor to make it do its thing? So I think we've got some of those things to overcome, but I think sooner than later, I mean, Microsoft's demoing it now, so it's probably a good 3 years away. If that's kind of their... They get you excited 3 years in advance. You know,
and
we
then
always
Google will do it next year, and then Apple and Windows will try and come in the you know 2 years from now and
we bash Apple
fix,
for that all the
fix
time.
Fix what Google did wrong.
Or Google, but Microsoft, man, they'll show these things that are way ahead of their time.
Yeah.
And then we don't hear anything from them, and then 3 years they come out. By the time they come out with it commercially, nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know about it anymore. So, yeah. So with that, I think, you know, when we think about Windows 10, those are kind of some features. Everybody's talking about, you know, everything else with Windows 10 that's available. The new start menu. Ooh, what did I do here? There we go. I hit my mic thing and it pulled out halfway and I only got one side of the conversation. That's a little disconcerting. With all this talk of Windows 10, as a Mac guy, we've been talking about trying to find you kind of a low power Windows device to use. I think we're still looking for that. I'm getting ready to pull that trigger and get a Windows device in your hands. What do you think? I mean, looking on the outside, looking in, we're a week away or a week post the Windows 10 launch. As an Apple guy, what do you think?
Yeah, outside looking in, what my surprising thing is, and I asked you about this, I think it was maybe last week or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, but I was just shocked at the amount of people that knew about the Windows 10 update that was coming and were actually interested in it. I made the comment that my grandma texted me while I was on vacation and said, hey, my friend's looking into this. And it's just, you know, they're tech people. They love staying on top and talking to their grandkids via the iPads and stuff like that. But something I didn't expect them to do is be on top of a, you know, an operating system update. I'm like, really? That's something you're interested in? So looking in and hearing what people have to say about it, I'm kind of excited. I kind of want to play with it. It's kind of what it's tingling my nerd senses. My nerd senses are wanting to get in and play around and try and break it, you know, and try and see what I can do. But I mean, you have to understand how I don't not like Windows, but I don't use it at all. At work is the only time I use it, and to be honest, everything for us is pretty much web-based, so I'm in Internet Explorer almost all day. I do some PDF work, and then my email, so I don't really get to play around in the nuts and bolts of Windows. So I think actually it'll be a good way for me to kind of jump in, because I'll be jumping in with a fresh set of eyes. I won't have known what I was missing or gaining from Windows 10. So that's what I'm excited for, is jumping in, looking at it from a perspective of, hey, here's a guy who really doesn't use Windows at all. And so what do you, you know, I'm excited to see what my impressions are of the operating system. But I think it'll be good.
Yeah. No, I think it will be. I think maybe we should start a little, like a little contest or a little, some advice. So like, what's the best Windows 10 tablet for Mike at that's $99 or less? Like, what? Let's get some community input from you guys, right? And we'll get a little bit in the chat room as you guys are listening to us live. But I'd love to hear from you in the Facebook group. If you're into Facebook, Facebook.com/groups/ And I think I always give out the wrong name for this group. Let me just verify. It is The Average Guy. So go to Facebook.com/groups/TheAverageGuy. If you haven't already a part of that group, ask to get in. I'll just let you in right away. And I'll start a thread there that says, what are we going to get the Apple guy for a Windows device, right? $99 or less, we're looking for the best possible deal, $99 or less. We'll let this go for a week or so, and then I will pull the trigger on that. I'd like it to be on Amazon because, you know, that's where the Tech Scholarship Fund is, and that's where most of my funds reside to get that done. And and we'll ship this thing. Oh, I could probably have it shipped here and carry it to you. We'll ship this thing to Mike, and his responsibility will be to get in, mess around with it. We'll have Mr. Smith goes to Microsoft. Right?
Mr. Smith goes to
Microsoft. I think this will be cool.
Listen,
I don't want you to turn into a Windows fanboy. I'm not asking for that.
Oh, then you don't have to worry about that. I won't.
No. For people listening, I don't want them to think I'm trying to turn you in. I mean, I like the fact that you balance out what we do here. But I am interested in getting your opinion. A Windows 10 and having a device, mess around with it, take it with you. I think with Windows 10, you're going to find it a little handier than you expect. I mean,
I would imagine. I played around on my dad's Windows computer and he had Windows 98. So we're talking. So maybe that's why in my head I was like, that was his old work computer, and then my mom got a Mac and I've been Mac ever since. And so now just in my head, I'm like, oh, well, back then, you know, it was like apples and oranges when you're talking about just usability on creative stuff. So I'm excited for it. And if you're going to be a true tech guy, and especially a tech podcaster, you need to know both. You need to be fair to both. You need to be, you know, versed in Windows and Mac. So that's what I'm excited for, is to be able to say, okay, no, I have played with both. I do use both. And here's my opinion.
Good.
Well, Brian had a good one. That one is, it's more expensive though. It's $179.
All right.
That's the mini kind of micro desktop, which is kind of cool.
Is that what Ken threw in there, or is that what Brian threw in there?
Brian threw in there, I believe. Okay. Yeah.
So, this is really a good one. The HP Stream 7, 32 gig, Windows 8.1, it'll automatically update to Windows 10 for you. It includes Office 365 for a year. That is probably, I've been holding off on that. That was the one I was originally going to get you, to be honest.
Okay.
I've been holding off on it because I thought HP would refresh that and we'd get a new, like we'd get a new version of it. And
right.
And they really haven't at this point. But that's a 7-inch display. It's 1080 by 800. It's running the Atom Z3735F processor, so about 1.33 gigahertz. Comes with 32 gig of flash memory, which is okay. I'd almost rather have 64, but this is a test device, so.
Yeah.
Not bad. Includes Office 365 Personal for 1 year. That's a $70 deal right there, to be honest with you. So
right.
You're getting this for...
Well, I actually have that. So I have Office 365 through Creighton. Creighton gives you an account, and we can... So I've got all that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, very
cool.
But it's
not personal. Actually, I don't know how that works. Do you know if it's an education account? I know I can use it. I've installed all of the Office suite on my Mac using
that. I think it works exactly the same. It's just the difference in who buys it.
Okay. I didn't know if there was any different limitations on
that. All right. So we'll put the stream. We'll definitely put the HP Stream 7 on the list. That would be an easy one to pick up for you. Brian had put one from Dell, the micro desktop, on there. No, thanks. Let me look at this. Starting at $179. No, I'm more interested in a tablet for Mike. So I'd like to get him kind of an all-in-one concept for $99 or less.
There's that Dragon Touch i8. That looks kind of interesting.
Okay, where are you seeing that?
Oh, here, let me... let me read before I post.
Yeah?
It's always a good idea.
Well, they've got Android. The Dragon Touch M7, do they have a Windows version of it?
Yeah.
Android. Let's put Windows in the descriptor here. Windows. Oh, yeah, quad core Intel, Bay Trail, $89.
Yes, yeah, that's what I was kind of looking at.
Interesting.
Only 16 gig flash, so a little.
Yeah, that's even worse. That's almost all Windows, right? At that point, that's
what
almost,
I was wondering. How much of that operating system, or how much of that space is taken up by the operating system?
About 10 at least.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and then you're going to lose some because 16 gig isn't really 16 gig. It's like 14.5 or something like
right.
that.
Right.
So you're not going to really.
And we can look in the post show for a
yeah,
little.
Yeah, no, and I'm looking at for folks to give us some, again, give us some stuff. Head out to the Facebook page. I'll get that post started, or if somebody wants to start it for me, that would be fine. I started from Home Gadget Geeks 226. What's the best Windows 10 tablet? That is $99 or less for the Apple guy. For the Apple guy, Mike Beaker. Let's see if we can find him here. There he is. So, that's out on Facebook. If you want to jump out there, if you've got some serious... I've got to put that in the right spot. If you've got some serious... Yeah, Canon said the $99 Amazon for the Stream 7. Yeah, nope, that's one of them. That's for sure. What else is out there? That is probably the best one, but if you find some alternate ones for Mike, that would be fantastic. One of the things, too, if you're in the back-to-school mode and you think you might get the college student in your world a Surface Pro 3, make sure you check all the back-to-school deals that are going on right now. So at a minimum, you can save $150 off in a lot of places if you just watch your coupons, watch your email, go to the Microsoft Store, some of those kinds of things. They are running some pretty good deals right now. And so if you're doing back-to-school, shop around for that stuff for sure. It's coming up. Mike, what's your schedule like when we think about school for you? School will be starting here pretty quick. When do things kick back in?
The 24th. We're getting back into it for my last year of college, so I'm going to do the stereotypical last first day of school picture. So 7 years of
is
college.
Is this it? Are you done?
When you get? I don't know. I joke with my dad. I'm like, hey, I might go to med school after this, but no, I think I'm done. 7 years of college is more than enough. I'm done. I'm ready to be done now. So, yeah.
I want to tell you how I'm impressed with you, how you've gone through law school. I went through law school with a buddy. You know, he went through. I just went through with him.
Yeah.
And, man, it was 2 years of hell. I mean, that dude just worked his butt off. And you're like, eh, whatever.
it's fun. I enjoy it. I don't know. And, you know, and we've talked about this. It's different philosophies. You know, I put a lot more weight into working, internships, clerkships, building relationships, and also learning and getting the good foundation. But when it comes to me, and that's my balance right there. And fun, life, being married, podcasting, doing things I like to do. So
yeah, I was super impressed you guys got married right in the middle of school. That was bold, my friend.
You know, it's kind of funny. Funny story about that. My dean of my law school, I had a conversation with him after my first year. And we were just kind of talking. I was like, you know, it didn't go as well as I would have wanted to. You know, what are some things? And he asked me, he's like, you know, what do you do outside of this? I said, oh, I'm dating this. And he goes, are you getting married? I was like, yeah, actually, I'm getting married in between semesters. He goes, your grades will shoot up. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, everyone I've seen who gets married in the middle of law school, their grades will actually go up. And so I don't know. He's like, I talked to him, like, is that because like the significant other like makes them study? He goes, I don't know what it is, but yeah, that might have something to do with it. So he suggested it, and I was like, oh, hey, if he's approving, then yeah, sure, let's go for it. Because I was a little worried too, but.
Yeah, here's the deal, right? You know the deal. When you're not married and you're going through school, she's one place, you're another, you're always traveling between places, right? You want to be with her all the time, and so you're staying out late, and you're goofing off, and you're dating, right? You get married, yeah, life's over. Right, so you're in the same place. You don't, you know. After
now, I'm looking to get out and go study. That's what I want to go do.
After a couple months, you're kind of like, oh, I gotta go to bed. You know, and you kind of settle in a little bit, and the chase is over, and you're kind of like, oh, you know, I actually have some more time to study than I had before.
Right.
And so.
Well, that's been the number one thing we've talked about on Suit and Scrubs is the kind of change in lifestyle you have when you get married. Is the, oh, Friday nights look a lot different when you're married than when you were young and fun, you know.
Yeah, speaking of Suit and Scrubs, if you haven't checked it out yet, Suit and Scrubs. It's Suit and Scrubs, right?
Suit and Scrubs, yes. Yeah. Suit singular, Scrubs plural. Right.
And how's the new network?
Fantastic. Going great. I think people are liking it. Still trying to look for feedback on just navigating the site because I've got to play with some different options there. So 2980network.com is the host to Open Mic Night, number one. That's been a podcast I've been doing for a year. And Suit and Scrubs is the new one with my wife and I that we just started. Episode 2 was just released on Tuesday. So yeah, you can find it in iTunes, Stitcher, all that stuff, but over on 2980network.com.
You know, I'm a big tech podcast listener, and I'm even a big listener of podcasts about podcasts. And Suit and Scrubs is neither one of those.
It's kind of a nice, really refreshing
change from the blah, blah, Windows 10, blah, blah, ATR 2100s, blah, blah, web hosting, blah, you know. It's like, guys, I love talking to tech as much as everybody else, but sometimes if you listen to enough podcasts, we all start saying the same things over and over and over again. One of the nice things I've liked about what you're doing with Suit and Scrubs is that it's just about life. And Hannah could care less about technology.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, she loves it because you love it, right? And so she tolerates it. But she really comes at it from a different perspective. I'm excited to see her grow into that podcast. I think she's going to be dynamite. I mean,
we
all know with podcasting it takes a bunch of time to kind of find your voice and find your rhythm and get comfortable behind the mic. And I think the more you guys get comfortable, I just think the better it's going to get. So if you haven't subscribed to that, it's available for iTunes, Android, everywhere finer podcasts are found. And you can just search Suit and Scrubs. That's hard to say five times fast.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Suit and Scrubs. No, it's really easy to say by itself, but don't say search in front of that.
Right.
That gets a little bit harder, and that's available for you.
Mix up the S's.
As well. No, and I bet it's fun to do. She sounded, on number two, she sounded a lot more comfortable just kind of behind the mic. Did you guys record that at the house?
Yes, we recorded it here, which was a whole different problem. We had a bunch of peaking issues that I didn't even think about because we had ran it a whole different way. But yeah, the first one we recorded in a car, both looking forward at the road. Second one we recorded in the office looking at each other. And we were trying to decide actually what we like better. We don't know if our reactions are maybe a little bit different if we're not looking at each other. So I don't know. Yeah, we're kind of playing around with different styles of recording. So we're doing another one in the car, though, tomorrow. So we'll see how that one, if we go back and we like it any better or not. So
yeah. As the host of a show, right, and you're hosting this, do you ever feel like you have the pressure to kind of always fill the dead space and you're afraid she's going to stop talking?
See, it's so funny. You keep saying things. Yesterday, we just had it on the way down to her farm. We were talking about all the things we need to improve. And I said, I need to stop being the host because we are co-hosts. This is the first time I am not a host. Open Mic Night used to be a solo show, and now Colin's on it. But Colin's, I think he still considers me the host. You know, I keep the show going, kind of like you do here. Mm-hmm. It's your show, and then I'm just added in. So I've never not been the host. So this is interesting. So I am always filling dead spaces. I'm cutting her off. I'm doing hosty things, so I need to stop doing that. But we're learning. We're having a good time just learning and having fun. Mainly it's just fun. We're just having a blast putting this out there. So
that's very cool. Yeah. When I have a guest where I feel like I have to prop them up, I always think mentally I feel like I'm holding that person up in the air through the whole podcast, afraid they're going to fall at any moment, and she'll do fine. That'll be something you'll have to learn to just kind of let it go. Dead air is okay. I'm bad at it too, but dead air is okay, you know, and I'm just excited to watch you guys kind of grow. So it'll be fun to listen to it. It's fun. She's giggly.
Yeah.
She's excited.
We're very different. We're very, very different.
Yeah. You guys are great together. It's going to be a great podcast, and if you haven't subscribed to it, it's that one that it's just not anything like you've ever listened to before. For most of you, you listen to tech podcasts or podcasts about podcasting, and you just haven't heard it before, and so check it out. I think it's a good one to check out. I'll remind you, like I do every single week, I am on, speaking of podcasts about podcasts, I'm on Ask the Podcast Coach every Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. Central, 10:30 Eastern, with Dave Jackson out at AskThePodcastCoach.com. Cool thing about that is we get like 30 guys out there live on a Saturday morning, which is just ridiculous, right? I don't know. And some of you have begun to show up to that, which is really cool. And so if you're on a Saturday morning, you got nothing to do, if you're in the right time zone or you wake up early, head out to AskThePodcastCoach.com. It's just fun. We'll talk about anything. And I'd love to see more of my listeners make it there on Saturday morning. Dave gets a lot of his own, but I just love to see that.
Fantastic show. Love it.
It's a lot of fun. I have a good time. You and I have a good rapport podcasting. We get that. Dave and I have that same thing, Dave Jackson and I. Still doing Home Service Show and Surface Geeks when I can. Wednesday nights have been getting harder for me just with my work situation. But, of course, I try to be live with Dave McCabe just as much as I possibly can. Wednesday nights either at homeservershow.com or SurfaceGeeks.net. Too many podcasts to remember is part of the problem, and those are all part of the Geeks Network as well. And so if you want to check those out, thegeeksnetwork.com. We want to say thank you for supporting us through the Amazon Tech Scholarship Fund affiliate link, so theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. And Mike Howard had just bought a bunch of lights, and he used that Tech Scholarship Fund to do it. If you are purchasing through that, it doesn't cost you anymore, but we recycle those dollars. We're going to recycle those dollars into a tablet, a Windows tablet for Uyghur to get a hold of and give us his impression. I think that'll be fun.
I would love it. I really appreciate it. That'd be awesome.
You'll come on. We'll talk about it. It'll just be something you can kind of keep track of as we talk about Windows and things going forward as well. If you're interested in purchasing something and or me buying it for you, sending it to you, you review it, you come on the show or you write about it, let me know. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. We like to keep those around $100, which is why I set Mike's budget for that laptop at $100. We just try to be open and honest about it. If you haven't got the newsletter, by the way, I'm behind on the newsletter again. I didn't get one out this weekend, but theaverageguy.tv/newsletter is where that will be. I will try to get one written this weekend. It's just been a little nuts, but we get those out. I never spam you. I barely even send you a newsletter, but if you want to get signed up for it, head out there, and all the ways to get signed up for it are out there as well. We're out here every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv/live. If you didn't listen to 224, a special 20-minute podcast where I kind of talk about podcasting and why I podcast and how I podcast. And so I enjoyed putting that together. I didn't intend to do it. It kind of came out of the post show of 223. That came out just last weekend. And so if you want to go back and catch that in 223, that's available as well. We do have LastPass coming up, and so, you know, of course, they had a breach that came up, and we're going to ask Amber all about that. She's lined up for next week, and Sir John Hargrave is up the week after that to talk about his book, Mind Hacking, so I'm pretty interested in that. I will also, I'm going to put that link right now in the live. This is why you want to come out and listen live. So this is an open source book called Mind Hacking. It's made available for anyone. So if you read it this way, you can get it on just about anything, any device you want to read it on electronically. He's made it available for free. He's going to come on the show in 2 weeks and talk about it. And he has some. It's a great read, by the way. He's a really good author. I mean, Mike, did you read this with me? Have you gone through this yet?
No, I've gone through like the first few pages of it when you first sent it to me, so I'm still going to get through it.
Yeah. So it's one of those things. It's a really interesting read, and agree with it or not, it's fairly interesting as we get into it. So he'll be on the show. John Hargrave will be on the show in 2 weeks, and then I got to start getting some scheduling going. I got about 13 weeks out, and then I have just been resting, and it's time to get some show scheduled. And if you've got something you want to talk about, if you have a tech specialty, it can be around cars or homes or whatever, and you're interested in coming on and talking about it, do me a favor, just let me know. And we'd like for you to have a good mic and a good camera and some good lights. That would be nice. And I'm not going to say required, but in this day and age, it's so cheap to get a really good mic. I mean, I got a good mic right there.
Hey.
That was really bad. Sorry. That was really bad.
I'm a free guy. I'm a free one, so there you go.
Yeah, you are a free mic. I like that. I appreciate that. Yeah, Ken asks, is it an audiobook? No, it is a reading book, but it's available in just about all formats. EPUB, Mobi, and PDF are available for you. It's a great read. I don't know if it's on Audible. He's released this open source. He's just made it free for everybody, and so if you want to go out there and check that out. Even has an app available for it. He's got some brain exercises that he has you go through, and you can use the app to track what you're thinking or what you're doing. It's pretty cool. I'm not going to give too much more away. You might want to really... the chat is just catching up to the bad joke. We're out here every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at the Average Guy TV live. And with that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.